Good to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. To feel His presence. Amen. Let's stand for a moment. I want to go to the book of Hebrews, 12th chapter. Hallelujah. Amen. Is that where you were?
No.
Uh-huh. Well, praise God. Pays to open the Bible sometimes. Sister Tanya's son had taken $20 and lost it for her. And she opened her Bible and found it. Amen. See, you thought you needed it before, but now you probably need it more, so it's there. Amen. I want to talk about, you've heard Elvis Presley's song, maybe, All Shook Up. Amen. I'm all shook up. Amen. When you're all shook up, what happens as a result of it can determine whether or not you make it to heaven. Verse 25, chapter 12 in Hebrews. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. So if you haven't been all shook up, you're going to be all shook up. And what remains is what counts. You may be seated. And I go on just a little bit. It goes right straight from those words about the unmovable kingdom of God and how things have been shaken and shall be shaken, and things that are made will shake loose, and things that are bad will shake the devil off. But we want to make sure that when God, who is a consuming fire, has this determined that this is the end of it all, and I want that which can endure all things and go through all things and remain constant with God to come on home and be with God, let's make sure that we don't find ourselves being shaken loose with those things that are being shaken away by God Himself. Maybe that doesn't make a lot of sense to anybody else, but it does to me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I have been part of things that were shaking. I know what it is to not be able to hold on. I've been in a lot of places, done a lot of things. I won't go into details, but I have fallen off of a lot of things. Had to turn loose of a few things because it was just not possible to hold on anymore. But there's one thing we don't want to ever turn loose of, and that's our hold on God. Because His kingdom is unmovable, and no matter what is shaken, God's constant, unshakable, unmovable kingdom will remain. And we want to stay in with God, don't we? Amen. And the way we do that, we can go right on into chapter 13, is this. Let brotherly love continue. Amen. Because without that, we might find ourselves not being able to endure some things, because if we don't let brotherly love continue, we will be in disobedience to God. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. This is the word of God. For therefore some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them. It's one thing to be aware that there are people who are bound. But it's yet another thing to remember them and to know about them to such a degree that you feel what they're going through. And we're being instructed here to care about people enough who are bound as though we were bound with them. And remember those which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. What this is saying, if somebody else is suffering adversity, don't just know about it. Have some concern. Have some concern. Care about it enough that it drives you to your knees as though it were happening to you. And it goes on about marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Amen. Who will judge? So we don't need to get ourselves all caught up in being judgmental of who we think can make it and not make it. Everybody has their own set of challenges. Some people have different types of weaknesses. But God is the one who is in the department of being the judge. Our assignment is to make ourselves unshakable and unmovable. And don't spend all our time trying to judge others, or we might not really see what's going on when the great shaking time comes. Let your conversation be without covetousness. In other words, just because somebody else has something you don't have, that's all right. Our conversation shouldn't be consumed with trying to outdo each other, or trying to get what somebody else has, or trying to be like somebody else. But they need to be above all of that. Amen. Let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. You may say, well, I don't have much. Well, that's fine. Be content with that. Amen. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. You may have great gain, but if you don't have godliness with contentment, all that great gain will be shaken away from you at some time, either soon or later, but it will be shaken. Amen. And the only things that will remain will be godliness with contentment. Amen. Hallelujah. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Isn't that a great promise? Jesus said it. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. See, if you hang on to Jesus, when shaking time comes, you'll be all right because He won't be shaken loose from anything. He's the one doing the shaking of everything else. And the whole reason is to get rid of the junk. To get rid of that we don't need in our lives. Amen. Have you ever had to shake stuff loose? You know, an old vacuum cleaner bag? Or an old rag that you've been using as a dust cloth need to be, or a rug that needs to be shaken. Now you don't shake a rug in order to get rid of a rug or a piece of carpet, amen. But it's to get some things that you don't want there out of it. You don't destroy that which you're shaking in order to finish your job of shaking things. But there's a purpose and a goal. It's to get rid of something that you don't want to be there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's the way God is about us. He's not threatening us with all this shaking that's going to go on. He's not saying, I'm going to shake you until it hurts you. I'm going to shake you until I get rid of you. I'm going to shake you until you can't take it anymore. That's not what He's saying at all. He's saying anything that's in your life that shouldn't be there, if you will trust me, I'll shake it out of you. You can shake the devil off with God's help. Praise God. But somewhere along the line, there's going to have to be that time when God gets rid of something that's not supposed to be there. Thank you, Lord. And we can cause that to not happen with just a little disobedience, with just a little rebellion. Just a little not paying attention to the Word of God. just a little bit of not hearing, being complacent, deciding we've got it made, everything's okay. I've heard all these sermons before. I've heard these songs before. I've been to this church before. I've read that verse before. I know all this stuff. I know what's going to happen next. I've been around for a while. Amen. It's stuff that sits around for a while. It gets dusty sometimes. Hallelujah. Sometimes there needs to be some cleaning up. When the preacher does it, people will say the preacher's too hard. Amen. When daddy does it, the kids say, my parents are too strict. Amen. When God does it, you better pay attention. Thank you, Jesus. Remember them which have spoken, or remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. So whether we like it or not, it is possible to have somebody in your life who has rule over you. And God has an order, and He has placed certain things in His church, not for those that are in place to do the work of God to be abusive or to set themselves up as some kind of lord over God's heritage. But those who give you the Word of God have the rule over you with the Word of God, which is something that is very sure and steadfast, because it is the Word of God that has the authority. It is the Word of God that has the power to make a difference. It is the Word of God that is being delivered through whomever it may be coming through. Your pastor, your evangelist, your teacher, whatever means God may use, you need to pay attention and look to those people as those who have rule over you. It may even be your husband. Some of you are thinking, God forbid. But in God's order, the Christian home is made up of a husband who is the head of the home. And in God's eyes, the priest of the household, the man of God, whose head is Christ. And the wife is subject to God. But in God's order, God has placed an order for her to work with her husband, not against her husband. And even the word obey is used in the Bible concerning a wife's dealing with her man of God in her life, who is her husband. And then there are examples in the Word of God of those who have left their first estate and fallen away through rebellion or disobedience. And God uses, and He gives us the words in the Word of God, the details of angels who became disobedient. And then He placed in the Word of God instructions for us that we can actually see what God is saying in a literal way. And in the book of Corinthians, it's given to us by Paul the Apostle concerning being under submission. And submitting ourselves means to be able to listen to those that have rule over us. And in order to do that, you can show it by certain things. And even the word hair is mentioned. And when it's brought up by a preacher, there are many people who want to close their ears. They don't want to hear about it. And there are churches all over the world that have tried to make it be something that it's not. But it's simply there as a reminder that because of the angels, God is saying to you, be submissive and obedient to those that are in charge who are answering to God. And you have a way that you can show that you are, or that you can show that you're not, whether you be man or woman. The instructions are there. I won't get into them tonight because it always results in rebellion. And some of you might be shaken and you're not ready for that shaking yet. But you know what? When you get it all just right, you will want to do everything you can to please God. And even if your husband became rebellious, and became a devil, a real dingbat, a stinker, a no-good rascal. You could still have a head of your life, a priest, without beginning or end. Amen. Because God has a way of bypassing those who are no longer considered to be the man of God or the child of God. I mean, you're not a child of God if you're a beast sinning and being mean to your wife. So God Himself through Jesus Christ comes in, says, I'm your head. Look to me. Now that doesn't give the wife any excuse or any reason to be mean either. Because if you're going to be submitted to Jesus, He still expects a lot of things. He's even more strict than your husband might have been. But He will never hurt you. Praise God. When everything is working right, the children are obedient to mom and dad. And there's a scripture that says, children, obey your parents that your days may be long upon the earth. What that is saying is, if you don't listen to mom and dad, you may get killed. Because God is a consuming fire. He's not going to put up with that. You may die with a terrible disease. You may not live long because of your foolishness of not listening to your godly parents. It talks about your parents in the Lord. If your parents are not in the Lord, you can still have a parent that is the Lord. Hallelujah. And you may be under some kind of rules and restrictions by ungodly parents, by people who are not serving God. But that doesn't excuse you to live a rebellious, sinful life. Because your parent, if you want to serve God, who is your heavenly Father, steps in when your parents are not there serving God. And He is the Lord from heaven. And He still requires obedience. He still requires you paying attention. He requires faithfulness. And if you thought your parents were strict, you get you some ungodly parents who may be even mean to you. But give your whole life to God and you'll find that Jesus is more strict than any parent you ever met. Amen. But He never abuses anybody. He just expects faithfulness and respect and obedience. And no rebellion, no talking back, no smart lip, no acting crazy, acting like an idiot and stomping off mad. Hey, you do that to God, you'll go to hell. At least He gave you parents that might sting your rear end a little bit, but you need to be thankful for it. That's better than going to hell. Hallelujah. I'm talking about things that can be shaken, will be shaken. People say, well, God, a good God, let all these good people be lost forever. Well, what about asking it in this way? How about all these lost people who are not serving God, starting to show a little respect to the one that made us? Would you cast away your God forever and choose sin and choose corruption and choose anything but God in your life? Amen. No, the world says, I don't think God would let my nice uncle, who's never done anything wrong in his life, be lost. It's amazing how many people even change their belief when a loved one dies. If it's somebody else's loved one, they'll even judge them and sentence them to a devil's burning lake of fire. You know, no feelings. I mean, hey, they were sinners. They got what they deserve. But you, wait a minute. Now, this is my child here that's in that casket. Now, that child, or this is my daddy, or this is my mama. And they'll go with the arms folded. That daddy or mama that's never graced the house of God, never been baptized in Jesus' name, never received the Holy Ghost, never given God an ounce of their time, a moment of their time. But all of a sudden, there, at that moment, I know my mama's going to make it. I'm not here to judge anybody's mama. But I'm here to tell you that there's going to come a time when anything that can be shaken will be shaken. And your mama, your daddy, your grandma, your grandpa, and your children are no exception. And the rules don't change just because you love somebody dearly. They don't change. And sooner or later, mama's going to be taken away. Sooner or later, daddy's going to be taken away. Amen. And all the time you've got your godly parents' children here, you need to be thankful to God you've got somebody that'll train you up in the way you ought to go, whether you like it or not. You need to turn your back on the world. Quit trying to fit into all your peers' ideas. You don't need to go along with the flow. You need to stand out strong in the crowd. You need to be the most talked about, the most hated kid in school. Because everybody else is going to hell, but you're going to heaven, and you love God, and you're not going to do what they do. You're not going to go where they go. Why? Because my parents love God, and my parents are raising me to go to heaven, and I don't do those things. Whether you like it or not, I refuse to fit in. Hallelujah. Otherwise, every kid in this place is going to end up in the devil's inferno forever. And all those listening in and watching, because there's no way you can get around God. He's a consuming fire. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just as wrong for a child at school to go along and do what everybody else is doing as it is for your parents in this church to go to the bar room and get drunk. Now, what would you think about it, children, if your dad or your mom came in here staggering around with too much booze in them tonight and got up here to say, I love the Lord and thank Him for all He's done for me? God sees your going along with what everybody else is doing in the same light as you would see your parents if they staggered in here drunk. But this is not just to children. This is to husbands, wives, children, everybody. Men, woman, all races. Amen. One thing I don't allow in this church, and several of you children have seen me in action a few times, you don't sass your parents here. Amen. And growing up, you don't sass your preacher here. Not any of the preachers. And people of God, you don't get in a dispute here in these premises. You don't have strife here. You don't even sound like you're in an argument here.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Or you will be approached, and anything that can be shaken will be shaken. That's why we got such a peaceful church. We have no division. Some time ago, somebody came in here just for a short time. And he said, you know, somebody has this opinion, and I found out that somebody else has this opinion. I'd sure hate to see a split in this church. And I said, buddy, the only thing that might split off will be you. The rest of us are all right. You don't come in here thinking about splits. Praise God. You come in here thinking about tying a few things together. Sew up that which is torn up in your life. Come in here thinking about how am I going to get my act together. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of people who think they're saved that are not saved today. Not according to the Scripture. The Word of God tells us what to do. And if we want to take a shortcut or bypass the Word of God, we're going to find ourselves being shaken with that which can be shaken. Because God's kingdom is unmovable. And in order to get in on that unmovable kingdom, we have to be in the Word of God, obedient to the Word of God. Somebody told me the other day, said, I need you to teach me to play the piano real fast. Show me, how do you make these runs? How do you do these chords? How do you do that? It seems so easy for you. He's a friend. I'm not criticizing, I'm just telling you. wanted me to teach him right after church in 30 minutes how to do everything I do on the piano. And I looked at him and I said, "Sir, there are no shortcuts." Well, he said, "I've seen some people just pick it up real fast." And again, I said, "There are no shortcuts. To get in on being able to do these things, you're going to have to find a time in your life when you lay some things down. When you walk away from some things that want to tie up your time. You're going to have to find a time in your life that you learn to say no to those things that want to waste your time. You're going to have to turn off the television. You're going to have to quit going out with a gang. You're going to have to quit hanging out with nothing to do, just looking around, walking around with your mind blank. You're going to have to find a time to say, look, I want to learn to do this thing. Therefore, whatever it takes, I'm willing to give up some things and willing to discipline myself to go after this.
Glory.
There is no other way. There is no other way. I don't care what it is in life you want to accomplish. You're going to have to forsake some things if you're going to excel in that. And there is no greater goal that we can have than that goal to make heaven our home. To let Jesus be my Lord and my Savior. A lot of people are saying, I confess Him as my Lord. But if He is your Lord, that means you're doing everything He wants you to do. That means you're being everything that He wants you to be. If He is your Lord, that means that anything that will please Him, you're ready to do that. Otherwise, you're just lying when you say He's your Lord. And all liars will have their part in the lake that burns everything that can be shaken. Hallelujah. I don't like to hear this kind of preaching. Well, you know, I never did hear like to hear my daddy say, son, you're not supposed to pull those little girls' hair. But he kept me out of a lot of trouble by making me stop. A couple of little girls were bigger than I was, and they slowed me down. Son, you're going to have to stop doing what you've been doing.
Why, Daddy?
Well, if you don't understand it, I'll teach you a lesson on what you may not like at all, so that you'll know you don't want to go through this pain. Because every time you do that, you're going to get this. Now, I don't take sides on child discipline. I know that every book that's ever been written, that I've ever read, and every comment I've ever heard concerning people's opinions on how to raise kids, none of them have got it right for everybody. There's only one thing that keeps on popping up in my mind. Spare not the rod. Regardless of what society says, oh, if you spank your kids, they're going to grow up resenting it and be mean. Well, I'll tell you, I grew up, thank God for every spanking I got, because all my other buddies didn't get it, either went to the pen or they're dead today. I grew up knowing I better not do that. I want to, but I know I shouldn't. If I'm willing to pay the price, no, I'm not going to pay that price. I went to church because I was forced to. And I hear parents today say, I would never force my child to go to church. I think they need to be able to make their own choice. Look, if you're my kid, you don't have a choice here. When those church doors are open, those that I feed, those that I support, those that I am responsible for will be here, no matter what you think. Whether you like it or not, whether it's your choice or not. And I want to tell you, it wasn't my choice for years. I didn't want to go to church, but I dared not to tell them I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go to church. A few times I tried the same excuses I tried to get out of school in the morning. Oh, I feel good. Well, get your clothes on. We're going to church. You cannot feel good there. I got homework to do. Well, you can take an F on your report card. This is greater than your schooling. And you're not going to get your homework in church. Well, Daddy, I'll fail. No, you'll succeed in God because you're going to listen to preaching whether you like it or not. Parents today let the kids, if they get behind on their assignments, we have so much church, they don't have any other time. So they go to church and do the homework while the preacher's preaching. Yeah, parents, you're sentencing them to a devil's lake of fire. When the preacher is preaching, we should have the undivided attention of every ear. Because this is the Word of God. And whatever is coming forth is to help you to grab a hold of something that will not be shaken, that will not be moved, and to cause you to get stronger in the Lord. However, when I stand up here preaching many times, I see people talking to their neighbors, getting up to go to the bathroom 5 or 6 times, walking around as if it doesn't matter, fixing their hair, looking at their watch, you know, and it's been like that all my life in every church I've ever been in. Amen. Not everybody, but in every church. You can always stand and look from this direction and see those who are not listening, who are not paying attention, and you can always count on it. A few days later, you're going to see them with a smart mouth, a rotten attitude, no concern about the way of God. All they think about is what I want. You know, and it's not the preacher's job to chase those kids around. I raised mine and I chased them and I'm tired of chasing. Now you raise yours. He said, a little church we go to in Newington sometimes when the preacher, it's almost time to preach. Have you noticed? They say, folks, we're going to take the offering now. They pray, they receive the offering. And during this time, if you need to do anything, if you need a drink of water, if you need to go to the restroom, do it during this time so you can pay attention to the man of God. That's a good idea. It's a good idea. Because I've been in that crowd. The only reason I went to the bathroom was to get away from everybody. And I have to hear that preacher. Just standing there, nothing to do. Hoping somebody else would come in there that I could talk to. I mean, you can only use the bathroom so many times in one sermon. So you just stand around, your hands in your pocket. There were a few times I was standing there waiting on somebody to come in I could talk to, and my dad walked in. Found somebody who wanted to talk to me. He reached over, grabbed me, pulled me out of there. But Daddy, I had to go to the bathroom! He said, wet your pants! If you got kidney trouble that bad, we'll send you to the doctor after we get home from church. Go stay in the hospital a few days. You want me to put a diaper on you? And you sit down there on the front seat and you listen to me. Because I'm telling you how to be saved. Say, your daddy was awful strict. No, he was awful good. Jesus is more strict than that. Thank God I had godly parents. Amen. Because I could just say yes, sir, to Daddy. And God saw that as me saying yes, sir, to Jesus. See, children are sanctified unto God by godly parents. That don't mean that they're saved and going to escape hell. There's still going to come that choice in your life at some point. When you're going to have to decide, I'm going to live for God. Or you're going to have to decide, I'm not going to live for God. But meanwhile, there's somebody in the driver's seat in that car you're riding in. You're just going to have to keep riding with that parent who's going to keep taking you to where you can get saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So children, when you're saying no to mom and dad, you're saying no to God. Wife, when you're saying no to your godly husband, you're saying no to God. And husband, when you're treating your wife with anything less than respect, you're saying no to God. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That means that you are willing to give your life to see her do good. This ain't a thing where just women only get all the rules. Amen. This is God speaking. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So if you're a godly husband, that means your wife is the most special thing in your life. Amen. You'll do whatever it takes to make her beautiful, to keep her happy, to cause her to want to rejoice. Praise God. You won't come home with a chip on your shoulder. Has Jesus ever done that to you? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Have you ever come to church and found God mad here? Have you ever met God here and raised your hand to praise Him? He said, shut up! How many times have you said it to your wife? And God's looking to you to be an ambassador for God on behalf of God Almighty, to love your wives and treat her as God Himself would treat her. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And there's going to come a time when there's going to be a great shaking going on. I hope it won't be during a husband and wife spat, or a child sassing the parents, or a person scratching her head and looking around wishing the preacher would hurry and stop, going in and out of the bathroom. Amen. You know, in times like these, I've been in services when I was a child even, when the preacher was saying things like I'm saying right now. And I was sitting there thinking, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. So I know how spirits can get in us. I hate you. Tried to stare them down a few times. I don't like people telling me what I have to do. Let brotherly love continue. Keep loving me. Keep loving me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. This is what you need to consider. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. That's what I'm up here saying tonight. I'm just saying tonight, if you grab a hold of Jesus right now, just right in your life, I don't care what you've done, who you've been, or what you've been, or where you've been, or how you've thought, or what kind of attitude you've displayed, grab a hold of Jesus now with all your heart. Hallelujah. And when you're all shook up, you'll be okay. Hallelujah. You'll be okay. And I'm headed for the close. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. And you may be thinking when I read these words about some real far off weird teaching that you've heard. Maybe like picking up snakes, or you're taking snakes to church, or something, you know. I know radio preachers, I used to hear one of them. He would, every time he'd get on radio, he'd say, you send me so much money, and I will send you a piece of the actual tie I was wearing with the sweat still on it. And he'd get money in the mail. People want a piece of that necktie with that sweat. And I don't know how many ties he had to cut up, but they always, you go to his house, and he's the man that baptized my daddy, by the way. You go to his house, he had a table just piled with money and envelopes from all over the country. with money in them and neckties everywhere and scissors. Now, folks, I can sell you CDs. And they'll do you more good than that man's cut-up neckties with sweat on them. But I could try to sell gospel music or make things available for an offering, the Word of God, so that you could enjoy the blessings of God, and nobody would want it. But there's that crowd out there that says, tickle my ears. You can be an Oral Roberts and you can get up on nationwide television and tell everybody, God spoke to me. And you may be thinking of that kind of doctrine or that kind of thing that happened when he said, God told me. And he came to me and he was a tall man as tall as a giant building and told me that if I didn't build a hospital and come up with a cure for cancer, that he would kill me. So folks, you got to send me millions of dollars so I can obey God and stay alive. And you know what? The world fell for that. And he built his skyscraper hospital and went bankrupt with it. And had to start all over again later and said God told him it was all the plan of God. Hey, God's work never goes bankrupt. If God told you you're going to have a cure for cancer, I promise you, you'll have a cure for it. If God told you he's going to do anything, God will do what he says he would do. But I'm not talking about strange Oral Roberts doctrines tonight. I'm not talking about picking up snakes tonight. Are cutting off neckties, although I mentioned those things. But what I'm talking about is be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines. Like, I don't have to listen to my parents. Don't be carried away with that. You'll end up burning forever. I don't have to listen to my husband. I don't have to listen to my wife. I don't have to listen to the preacher. Don't you be carried away with that doctrine. Those are doctrines of devils. You do have to. You do have to. And your have to has to be because you want to. Because God's not going to force you and accept you in that condition either. If God has to make you live for Him, you're going to go to hell. He says, keep my commandments if you love me. It reads in the King James Version, if you love me, keep my commandments. But when you compare all the versions and you look into the original wording, it is saying, make sure that the reason you love me is coming from your heart. And that is your reason for obeying me. He is not saying, keep my commandments to prove to me that you love me. He's saying, love me, then you'll keep my commandments. And make sure that you do it from your heart, because you want God. You love God. You've got to have God. You thirst for God. You reach for God. You long for God. Be not carried away about with divers and strange doctrines. For it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Some people, all they can talk about is what they disagree on. I don't see it like you. I don't see it like her. I don't see it like him. Hey, we all disagree about a lot of things, but we don't need to spend all our time talking about it. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. There comes a time when all that stuff needs to be gone. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Is that the word of God? Now let me finish with these words. I had one young man in our church that said, for my third closing, verse 17, obey. Everybody say obey. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Now, I could give my account after having preached to you the Word of God and poured out my heart and told you what I feel to be the strong, sure, steadfast, unmovable Word of the Almighty God. And you may not like it, and you may not go along with it, you may disagree with it, and you may even rebel against it. But as far as me giving an account to God, all I have to do is say, Lord, I did what you told me to do. And if you are disobedient, are not right in your attitude, that's between you and God, and you got a problem. Because God doesn't hold it against me. God just doesn't hold it against me if some of you decide you're not going to live for God anymore. My account to God is I told him. God doesn't hold against me if you become rebellious, if you become a stinker in your home and you don't do right. God doesn't hold that against me. Because I can give an account to God. I preached it. I taught it. I lived it. Praise God. It is profitable for you to obey those that have the rule over you as those that watch for your souls. So that attitude that says, I can watch for my own soul. When we were meeting in the Grange Hall, I talked real strong, kind of like tonight, only I'm saying it with love. I hope you feel that. I'm talking with love in my heart. I mean, God tells us we're going to go to hell if we don't obey Him, and He says it because He loves us. But I was talking about these things one night years ago in the Grange Hall, and a young lady after church said, I want you to know I can hear for God from God, same as you can. And I was trying to tell her how to avoid a problem. Well, I get my own answers from God. I was trying to tell her as a young lady, as a child in the church, who had a pastor appointed by God to feed her soul, to take care of her, to make sure that she heard from God and provided the table of the Lord so that she could come and dine. And thus saith the word of the Lord on her behalf, watching for her soul, helping her. And I'm going to tell you, there is no private word from God for you after you've heard the anointed, inspired preaching of your pastor. The only word you're going to get is the same word you got from the pulpit. Anything else is some doctrine that you need not follow off after. That's why there's so many churches today don't believe in pastors anymore. Even if Jesus, in the Word of God, says God has given them to us. These are gifts from God. They don't believe in them no more. There's a big move on in the world to get rid of pastors. Let a committee take care of it. Everybody answer to a committee. The preacher's just one of the group here. You know, he just... And in the society we live in, we're really blessed here because we don't own anything. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we could lose everything with God and keep on continuing. I mean, we could start all over and not really have to change a lot. You can always go out and get another junk computer at Goodwill. You can always find some software laying around here and there. Get on eBay somewhere if you want to go that route again. I don't know. If the big prophet that came through several months back and told us the flood is going to hit us and wipe us all out and going to destroy everything we got, and I set him down and said, you're lying. But if it comes to pass, don't you give that man credit for it. If it comes to pass, we'll just move upstream. Hallelujah. But the Word of God will not be shaken. You can destroy all of our stuff, but you can't destroy this Word of God. With or without the internet, the Word of God is still the Word of God. With or without this building, the Word of God is the Word of God. And if you say, this is my church, this is my preacher, and I am going to fit into the kingdom of God according to the Word of God and do my part with good communication and get along with my brothers and sisters and do what's right in the eyes of God in my family, at home, and at the church, in my community, on my job, it doesn't matter where we meet. It'll still be a glorious gathering. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I don't have to listen to you if I don't agree with you. I hear from God for myself. And there are examples in the Bible of that attitude that resulted in the destruction of the human mortal that said such a thing to the man of God. Amen. One lady was stricken immediately with leprosy. Hallelujah. Just because I can hear from God for myself. Yes, you can. But make sure when you hear from God, it's according to this Word and also consistent with the man of God that gave you the Word of God. Amen. Let us stand so I'll quit before somebody gets mad. Not that that would happen. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you, that they may give a good account. They watch for your souls. They may do it with joy. I just love to be able to say, thank you, Lord, for brother so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, for that child. Thank you, Lord, for sister so-and-so. Lord, I can see progress in that life. I can see that you're doing a work there. I just thank you for it, Jesus. I love to be able to talk to God like that. Even if it's baby steps you're taking, you're going the right direction. With joy, many times, I take some of you to the Lord. I say, thank you, Lord. I see what you're doing in that life. You don't have to be rooted up and change completely just instantly to please me or anybody else. But if you want to please God, take another step from where you are in the right direction. When you see something in the Word of God that you could change or obey, and you feel from God, this would please my God. Don't do it to please man. We'll notice it sooner or later. Praise God. Just do it as unto God. And God will bless you. He will bless you even if it's slow progress. Thank you, Lord. And it's not all about the outward appearance. It's not all about these things. A lot of it is just simply in your talking, your mannerisms. You can see when God is molding a life into His perfection. Hallelujah. But oftentimes, those signs on the outward appearance show what is going on in the inward heart. Amen. We want to be able to do it with joy. Because if we do it with grief, the Word says that's unprofitable for you. Amen. Pray for us. For we trust we have good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. Amen. Amen. Somebody asked me if I thought our church is the only group that's going to make it. I said, I'm not sure we're going to make it. We serve a strict God. The only thing I'm sure of is that those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. I have baptized over 300 people in Jesus' name in Norwich, Connecticut. Where are they? I have preached to thousands of people in Norwich, Connecticut. Where are they? Those things that could be shaken with just a little bit of shaking are no longer with us. But those things that are unmovable continue to stand. So when they say, how big is your church? I say, as big as it gets. Be unshakable, unmovable. Continue on. Hallelujah. God has given us a Holy Ghost shock absorber. Just bump me around all you want to, but I'm staying with Jesus. Inside Jesus is smooth. It's a way of peace. It's a way of gentleness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I hear people from time to time tell me, God is dealing with me to do thus and so. Oh, you know, I've been feeling God deal with me, wanting me to move out and to do this or do that. And I feel so much pressure and I feel so much unrest and I'm just going through agony and I'm just having a tough time because I know God is dealing with me. You need to double check and see which God it is. The only thing God wants you to do is straighten up your act and get your life right with God. Get yourself in harmony with God and His Word. He's not going to call you out and put pressure on you to go out and do anything. All He's going to do is invite you to come on in and get yourself in alignment with the good things of God. And then, if He wants to use you, you be willing to go. Be willing to do. And in a way of peace and gentleness, with God's provisions, He will call you out. And there won't be any pressure. It'll be a thing of, I surrender all. No matter what it looks like, I know I've heard from the true and living God. Hallelujah. You won't do like one young man and say, I'm going no matter what you say, Pastor, because I've heard from God. And he's not serving God today. See, that's not the way you do it. You hear from God, and your pastor will hear it with you. And if he doesn't, you won't. Let's come around the front. Hallelujah. Brother Rudge, I think we do need a committee. Somebody say, who are you accountable to? Jesus. Government wants us to be, you know, they would love to come in here and say, let me check out every member. And see what this one thinks and what this one does and where this one goes and what this one owns and all that. Praise God. For God already knows about every one of you. And He's happy. Praise God. We have an enduring substance here. Have a good church. Amen. I told my dad right after several years that he went through to end up with a bunch of thugs and hoodlums and thieves and murderers that wanted to kill him, didn't want him around anymore. And he'd buried their dead and visited their sick and held their hands and spent his years loving them and ended up with just a few that loved him enough to even speak to him anymore. And all those years he'd said to me several times, so how big is your congregation now? And just before he died, I said, you know what, Dad? I have more now than you've got. As far as numbers. And he looked at me and he said, but you don't have any more than I had back then. He said, there were only a few that were faithful all that time. And he said, that's why I preached it. And that's why I told them over and over what to do to be saved. But what you have observed is a manifestation of spirits that did not want to listen, did not want to obey, and did not want to line up to the Word of God. A few days later, he closed his eyes in death after saying, I don't hold a grudge against any of them. I forgive them all because I understand they're human beings. Maybe somebody else will come in here and they'll listen to him. Then he died. Praise God. Somebody wrote me a letter sometime ago and said, you need to get over it. I did. But you need to hear it sometimes. We all need to hear these things sometimes. That we're not playing games. This is serious business. Amen. This life comes and then it goes. What we do in this interval in between will determine whether we go to heaven or hell. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There are no shortcuts. You don't learn to play the piano or the accordion or anything else just like that. But you have to say, I'm willing to do what it takes. No shortcuts to heaven. Accept Christ as your personal Savior all you want to. Say the sinner's prayer 1,000 times a day and you'll still be lost. The Bible has a way to be saved. And every other way is to come up like a thief or a robber. Hallelujah. If you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you will submit to water baptism in the name of Jesus. You will let God fill you with the Holy Ghost. And you will endure. You will endure sound doctrine. You will be faithful and you will do all you can to please God.
Hallelujah.
Confessing Him as Lord and not letting Him be Lord is lying. Confessing Him as Lord should only be the result of Him really being the Lord of your life. Let's thank Him tonight. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah! I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I praise you tonight. I praise you tonight. I praise you tonight. I praise you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we bow before you. We humble ourselves before you. We look to you. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, to be respectful to you and to one another. Lord, to be able to be patient, kind, and true, and gentle with each other. Help us to behave ourselves in our homes. On our jobs. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You need to be thankful for the church you've got. You could be part of a congregation today that has to have everything so that everybody is happy, so the bills will be paid. You know, the mortgage on the building depends on the people being able to support it because they've got themselves in such bondage that if there's ever any trouble in the church, they'll lose the building. So, preacher, you got to have somebody that approves of you to be here, and you better not say anything to cross any of us, or we'll have to get another preacher because we've got to pay these bills. Thank God you're part of a church where the bills get paid or not. You're going to hear it straight. Whether we lose the building or not, we're going to hear it straight because there's something more important than buildings. Buildings can be shaken and can be destroyed, but that which is in your soul, amen, that's what will remain. I want to live forever with Jesus, don't you? Thank you, Jesus. Would you love Him again? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, help us to serve You. Help us to worship You. Help us to look to You. Help us to long after You. Help us to line up. Help us to line up, Jesus. Amen. If we do all these things, we're going to start seeing our houses, our homes, our families, our jobs, everything prosper. Because as we obey God, He blesses. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.